January 17th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Genesis, chapter 35, beginning at verse 1, and we'll go through chapter 36, verse 43. And here's what we'll find there. We'll read about some new beginnings. God once more appeared and told Jacob what to do. This was a part of the Bethel promise. We walk by faith when we obey God, in spite of circumstances or consequences. But a change in geography does not guarantee a change in life. So Jacob told the whole family to bury the past and get rid of their heathen charms and idols. At Bethel, Jacob built a new altar and worshipped the God of the house of God. And we'll read about new sorrows. Three deaths are recorded in chapter 35, for death is one of the facts of life. Jacob's obedience to God did not prevent him from experiencing trials. He lost a friend, Deborah, a favorite wife, Rachel, and then his beloved father. Perhaps the greatest sorrow of all was the sin of his firstborn son, Reuben. Sin is expensive, very expensive, and this one cost Reuben his birthright. We'll read about new joys. The birth of Benjamin cost Rachel her life. Jacob wisely changed the name from Son of My Sorrow to Son of My Right Hand, the place of honor. It was an act of faith at a time when Jacob's heart was broken. Like Benjamin, our Lord Jesus is a son of sorrow and a son of the right hand. The tribe of Benjamin gave us the Apostle Paul, so the mother's sacrifice bore a rich harvest for the whole world. Now, since the family was complete, the sons and mothers were listed. Esau's family tree is much more imposing than Jacob's. But this is the last we hear of it. Despite their failures, the sons of Israel are the chosen instruments to accomplish God's will on earth. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. January 17th, Genesis chapter 35, verse 1, through chapter 36, verse 43. God said to Jacob, "Now move on to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to worship me, the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob told everyone in his household, "Destroy your idols, wash yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has stayed with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all their idols and their earrings, and he buried them beneath the tree near Shechem. When they set out again, terror from God came over the people in all the towns of that area, and no one attacked them. Finally, they arrived at Luz, now called Bethel in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named it El Bethel, because God had appeared to him there at Bethel when he was fleeing from Esau. Soon after this, Rebekah's old nurse, Deborah, died. She was buried beneath the oak tree in the valley below Bethel. Ever since, the tree has been called the Oak of Weeping. God appeared to Jacob once again when he arrived at Bethel after traveling from Paddan Aram. God blessed him and said, "Your name is no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel." Then God said, "I am God Almighty. Multiply and fill the earth. Become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will pass on to you the land I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants." Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. He then poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. Jacob called the place Bethel, House of God, because God had spoken to him there. Leaving Bethel, they travel on toward Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. But Rachel's pains of childbirth began while they were still some distance away. After a very hard delivery, the midwife finally exclaimed, "Don't be afraid, you have another son." Rachel was about to die, but with her last breath, she named him Ben-Oni, The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Jacob set up a stone monument over her grave, and it can be seen there to this day. Jacob then traveled on and camped beyond the Tower of Eder. While he was there, Reuben slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and someone told Jacob about it. These are the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servants, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons born to Jacob at Padan Aram. So Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, which is near Kiriath Arba, now called Hebron, where Abraham had also lived. Isaac lived for 180 years, and he died at a ripe old age, joining his ancestors in death. Then his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. This is the history of the descendants of Esau, also known as Edom. Esau married two young women from Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite. He also married his cousin Basemath, who was the daughter of Ishmael and the sister of Nebaioth. Esau and Adah had a son named Eliphaz. Esau and Basemath had a son named Reuel. Esau and Oholibamah had sons named Jehush, Jalam, and Korah. All these sons were born to Esau in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, children, household servants, cattle, and flocks, all the wealth he had gained in the land of Canaan, and moved away from his brother Jacob. There was not enough land to support them both because of all their cattle and livestock. So Esau, also known as Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. This is a list of Esau's descendants, the Edomites, who lived in the hill country of Seir. Among Esau's sons were Eliphaz, the son of Esau's wife Adah, and Reuel, the son of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Eliphaz had another son named Amalek, born to Timnah, his concubine. These were all the grandchildren of Esau's wife, Adah. The sons of Reuel were Naoth, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were all grandchildren of Esau's wife, Basemath. Esau also had sons through Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon. Their names were Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. Esau's children and grandchildren became the leaders of different clans. The sons of Esau's oldest son, Eliphaz, became the leaders of the clans of Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Amalek. These clans in the land of Edom were descended from Eliphaz, the son of Esau, and Adah. The sons of Esau's son, Reuel, became the leaders of the clans of Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These clans in the land of Edom were descended from Reuel, the son of Esau, and Basemath. The sons of Esau and his wife, Oholibamah, became the leaders of the clans of Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the clans descended from Esau's wife, Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah. These are all the clans descended from Esau, also known as Edom. These are the names of the tribes that descended from Seir the Horite. One of the families native to the land of Seir, Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These were the Horite clans, the descendants of Seir, who lived in the land of Edom. The sons of Lotan were Horai, Heman. Lotan's sister was named Timnah. The sons of Shobal were Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shifo, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon were Aya and Anah. This is the Anah who discovered the hot springs in the wilderness while he was grazing his father's donkeys. The sons of Anah was Dishon, and Aholabama was his daughter. The sons of Dishon were Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Kiran. The sons of Ezer were Bilhan, Zahavan, and Akan. The sons of Dishan were Uz and Aran. So the leaders of the Horite clans were Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. The Horite clans are named after their clan leaders who lived in the land of Seir. These are the kings who ruled in Edom before there were kings in Israel. Bela, son of Beor, who ruled from his city of Dinhabah. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah, from Bozra became king. When Jobab died, Husham, from the land of the Temanites, became king. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, became king and ruled from the city of Avith. He was the one who destroyed the Midianite army in the land of Moab. When Hadad died, Samla from the city of Masreka became king. When Samla died, Shaul from the city of Rehoboth on the Euphrates River became king. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, became king. When Baal-Hanan died, Hadad became king and ruled from the city of Pau. Hadad's wife was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the granddaughter of Mezahab. These are the leaders of the clans of Esau, who lived in the places named for them, Timnah, Alva, Jetheth, Oholabama, Elah, Pinon, Kenaz, Timon, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Aram. These are the names of the clans of Esau, the ancestor of the Edomites, each clan giving its name to the area it occupied. January 17th. And now, as we look into the New Testament, our reading today will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. We'll read about hostility. The religious leaders were waiting for an opportunity to attack Jesus, and he deliberately gave it to them. What a tragedy to be burdened by legalism when you could enjoy the true Sabbath rest. When Jesus is your Lord, all of life becomes a Sabbath, and every place is God's temple, even a grain field. And of course, we'll be reading about hypocrisy. The Pharisees were concerned about keeping the Sabbath, but not about showing love to a man with a handicapping condition. Jesus wants mercy, not sacrifice. Do you use people or serve them? We'll read about victory. Jesus is the stronger man who has invaded Satan's house, overcome him, taken his weapons, and is now claiming his spoils. Put on the full armor and join him in victory. And now let's begin reading today here in the New Testament. January 17th, Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off heads of wheat and eating the grain. Some Pharisees saw them do it and protested, "Your disciples shouldn't be doing that. It's against the law to work by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." But Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what King David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God, and they ate the special bread reserved for the priests alone. That was breaking the law too. And haven't you ever read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned those who aren't guilty if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. For I, the Son of Man, am master even of the Sabbath." Then he went over to the synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Is it legal to work by healing on the Sabbath day?" They were, of course, hoping he would say yes, so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, "If you had one sheep, and it fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you get to work and pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, it is right to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, reach out your hand. The man reached out his hand, and it became normal, just like the other one. Then the Pharisees called a meeting and discussed plans for killing Jesus. But Jesus knew what they were planning. He left that area, and many people followed him. He healed all the sick among them, but he warned them not to say who he was. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. Look at my servant, whom I have chosen. He is my beloved, and I am very pleased with him. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout. He will not raise his voice in public. He will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope until he brings full justice with his final victory. And his name will be the hope of all the world. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. David loved God's house and longed to dwell there in fellowship with God. He yearned to be like the priests who lived in the tabernacle and had constant access to holy things. David wished he could even be a guest and pay God a visit. But did he qualify? Does anybody really qualify? God's children have open access into his presence through the work of Jesus Christ. He is our high priest and advocate in heaven, and he welcomes us. We come on the basis of his righteousness, not our own. But we had better be sure we've experienced the cleansing of Hebrews chapter 10 before we rush into his presence. Now this psalm helps us examine our walk, our works, and our words. The inventory includes our relationship with others, how we keep our promises, and how we use our money. Meditating on this psalm and pondering these qualifications could help us deepen our relationship with God. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5, a psalm of David. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to slander others or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise persistent sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who do not charge interest on the money they lend and who refuse to accept bribes to testify against the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. My child, don't lose sight of good planning and insight. Hang on to them, for they fill you with life and bring you honor and respect. They keep you safe on your way and keep your feet from stumbling. You can lie down without fear and enjoy pleasant dreams. You need not be afraid of disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap.